Dear brothers and sisters, a very good morning to each and every one of you who are joining us in this worship service. I believe all of you will consider it as a privilege to worship God, to glorify His name and exalt His name. We thank God for His word that we just heard read. And I've entitled today's theme as Advancing the Gospel from Acts chapter 28, the last two verses. You know, when you look at this particular two verses, many times we will be surprised. We ask ourselves, you know, why did Dr. Luke, who's also the author of the Gospel of Luke, he concludes it in a very abrupt manner. There is no strong conclusion, and an unexpected manner he concludes. Why? You know, there are scholarship that speaks about a lot of reasons. It could be because he was not there, and some say that he might have been gone by then. But I like the way John Chrysostom writes, an early church father. He says, the author, that's Luke, brings his narrative to this point and leaves the hearer thirsty for more. I believe the Spirit of God has a reason that each and every one of us will thirst for more. We will ask ourselves, you know, what is God trying to teach us from this passage or from this book? You know, how God wants to use us as an instrument to extend His kingdom wherever we are. Now, as we jump into this passage, let's ask God to help us. And as we pray, let it be our prayer that God will speak to us. Father, we thank You for Your word. We pray, God, as we look at Your word, we pray, Lord, we want to see Jesus. We want, Lord, to be encouraged by Your word. We want to be enriched and we want to be energized by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. I believe all of us have desires in our life. You would agree with me that every stage of our life, we have some kind of desires. When you're in school, we have some kind of desires. When we are in the career field, there is a desire to succeed in life. When we are married, there are other desires that comes to us. So in every stage of our life, we have a desire. We long to do something, or we long something would happen in our life. It's very interesting when you look at this great apostle, Paul. He had a strong desire, a very earnest, genuine, and sincere desire. If we look at all his prayers, his desire is to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a point in his life that Paul wanted to preach the gospel at Caesar's palace. Can you imagine? He would have definitely mapped up in his mind. He'd have said, you know, this is the strategy I'm going to follow. When I arrive, I'm going to preach the word of God in Rome. But sadly or unfortunately, he arrives in Rome as a prisoner. Not as a free man, but as a prisoner. And he's kept in house arrest and chained to a Roman soldier. Can you imagine? Paul would have asked himself, you know, Lord, I want to preach Your gospel, but I'm placed in a house arrest. I'm chained to this Roman soldier. What would I do? Can you imagine yourself in such a situation? Many of us would say, you know, what should I do, Lord? How can I promote Your word? How can I extend Your word? How can I spread Your word? In a moment like this, in a difficult or challenging situation like this, or what would I myself would do? Sometimes we might get frustrated. We might even question God and say, Lord, why did You place us in such a moment? But I like the way Luke ends this particular writing, where we see Paul's faithfulness, even in the midst of a difficult time, even though he was in house arrest, chained to a Roman soldier, Paul was faithful because God was always faithful in his life, my friend. I believe in this particular month, we want to emphasize on missions. And I want to share with you some things, some important lessons that we can learn from this great apostle in terms of engaging people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Firstly, when you look at the passage very carefully, you realize the attitude towards God's word. What should be my attitude be towards God's word? How should I engage people with God's word? Let's read in verse 30. It goes like this. It says, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. You know, when you look at the verse on a surface level, you know, probably we are not so impressed. He just stayed in the house arrest and he welcomed all who came to see him. But when you dig into that word very carefully, you realize that Paul had a very strong determination to share God's word. Imagine he was in house arrest for 2 years, all alone by the side street. His friends were not around. Timothy was not around. Barnabas was not around. And he's chained to a Roman soldier. Now, two things could have happened in his life. He could have just said, you know, for 2 years, I'm just going to wait and see what God is trying to tell me. He could have just spent his 2 years just waiting, just thinking about his trials, or even preparing himself for the trial. There's another way he could have actually acted too. Secondly, he could have seen it as a two years of opportunity. 2 years, I'm placed in such a difficult situation, but I see it as an opportunity. God has placed me in every circumstances, and every circumstances is an opportunity for me. And that's what we see in this particular writing. Paul saw his house arrest as an opportunity. We see strong determination, earnest desire to fulfill the mission that God has given to him. I was reading a tradition that goes like this. There was always a fear in the Roman government, you know, to imprison Paul together with a soldier, because there was a fear. This soldier who is handcuffed or even chained to Paul would someday accept the Lord Jesus Christ. So what they did, they always constantly changed soldiers so that they will not be converted to the Christian faith. So Paul was determined, even in this house arrest, to share the word of God. And that's why he wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 9, verse 16, he says, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Whatever it is, I need to preach, and woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Yes, Paul was determined. At the same time, he writes to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, he says to this young minister, preach the gospel, be prepared in season and out of season. I think that was the desire, that was his attitude towards God's word. You know, wherever I am, I'm called to bring the word of God. Wherever God has placed me, it's mission field. Yes, my friend, wherever God has placed us, it is a mission field. It might be an institution. It might be a working environment. It might be a community. It might be a family. God has placed us there because it is our mission field. And Paul saw that as his mission field. And there was very strong determination. That was his attitude towards God's word. You know, it's so interesting that when Paul was in this house arrest, not only he was determined to share God's word, but at the same time, you know, if you realize, you know, he was writing the prison epistles, right? Ephesians was written in this particular place. Philippians was also written in this particular place. Colossians was written, and also his letter to Philemon also was written in this particular house arrest. There was strong determination. Nothing is able to stop me from engaging or from bringing God's word to God, to the people around. You know, secondly, I see not only his attitude, but his approach. How did he approach? All of us are fully aware that whenever Paul went to a new place, one of the first places that he would visit was a synagogue. He would go to a synagogue. He will try to teach God's word there. And then he will visit marketplaces. That is another place that he would visit. There he will engage people on about the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the time he gets some believers, he will establish a church. That was his strategy. Going to the synagogue, going to the marketplace, and finally, you know, gathering a group of believers and forming or even establishing a church. But what was Paul's strategy in this house arrest? 2 years house arrest and chained to a soldier. Paul could have easily said, you know, I'm used to this kind of strategy, and this is my strategy, and this is what I do. But we learn another interesting lesson from this great man of God. If you read some earlier verses, what it says when Paul was there, 3 days, in verse 17, it says 3 days, he called together the local Jewish leaders. And when they assembled, he started speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ to them. And imagine, he did not waste any time. That was his approach. Yes, nothing is going to stop me, and I'm going to change my strategy. I'm going to change my direction. And I'm going to change my model of ministry. Paul was always seen going to people. Now, he's welcoming people to his home with his open arms, and he assembles people. He sends out his invitation. Probably, I thought Paul would have thought to himself, you know, will they come? Will they come to my invitation? But thanks be to God, they responded, they came. They came the first time. I think Paul, you know, we learned something another interesting about Paul. Not only he engaged them with God's word, but he created some kind of curiosity in them. They wanted to come back. In verse 23, it says, they arranged to meet Paul again, and they came with a larger number to a place that he was staying, and they almost spent the entire day with them. There was a change in his direction. His house arrest became the headquarters for world evangelization, my friend. He used his place to share the gospel. He could have said, you know, this is my way of doing. When situations changed in his life, Paul was willing to change his strategy, to find different ways or think out of the box to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend. And I think it's important for us to ask God in a time like this, Lord, show me a way, Lord, that I would engage people with your word. Show me another method of God. How should I be approaching when people are going through a difficult time in their life? And unfortunately, we live in a time and age, my friend, you know, little things takes people or even stops people from sharing the word of God. A little incident in their life stops people from reading God's word or even sharing about their testimony or even stop people from coming to church. Little things stop people from searching God. But this man of God was in house arrest, restricted in every way, chained to a soldier, but nothing is able to stop him. Paul was willing to change his strategy because he wanted to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I came across a study that was done by Pew Research Institute. According to them, you know, during a time like this, particularly the pandemic time, 13% of people became much more stronger in their Christian, in their faith towards God. How wonderful if we are part of the 13% and say, you know, we are still stronger. Reaching out people for the Lord. You know, reach, finding ways and means, finding new methods, you know, having different strategies of engaging people and also being strengthened in our faith. Lastly, and I would like to look at the last thing that we learn about missions or about evangelism from this great man of God. The last thing is, the advance of God's word. How did God's word advance? Firstly, when you look at this, you see he was very consistent. He was consistent with the gospel. Because the Jewish leaders were there, he did not water down the gospel. He did not twist the gospel. If you read verse 23 onwards, you know, he started explaining about the kingdom of God from the law of Moses and from the prophets, and he persuaded them about the Lord Jesus Christ. He presented them with the whole gospel, my friend. He preached about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the full gospel. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, he says, I preach Christ crucified. Yes. Today, we live in a time and age. Sometimes, to achieve certain things, we can water down the gospel. But Paul was not. Even though he was in house arrest, even though he was meeting with Jewish leaders, he made sure he was consistent to his faith, consistent in his belief. He was firmly rooted in what he believed, my friend. Nothing could move him away from his faith. Secondly, I also see he was also consistent in his presentation of the gospel. Read in verse 31. Very interesting. Luke concludes by using this word. He says that Paul preached with boldly and without hindrance. Boldly and without hindrance. In other words, the word boldly in the Greek text means that he had the freedom to speak, and he spoke it openly, frankly, without any fear. He was courageous. He was willing to share whatever he knew about the Word of God. He was bold, courageous. And that was his character. That was his life. He was very consistent in the way he was preaching the Word of God. And it also says, without hindrance, my friend. In other words, it could mean two things. There were no people to hinder him, or the gospel was unhindered. In other words, nothing can stop the spread of the gospel. Nothing can stop Paul from preaching the Word of God. And that was one of the great lessons that we learned from this great apostle. When I was looking at the Greek text very carefully, you know, the Greek word, the four last words in Greek, it's actually a one word with an adverb there. It means unhindered. In other words, nothing can stop him. No circumstances. You know, with love, with fear, with boldness, with courage, this man was willing to share the love of God. Today we need to ask ourselves, what hinders us from sharing God's word? It could be the work of the evil one. It could be people around us, or it could be ourselves, my friend. But the lesson that we learned from this man, he was willing to share the love of God. You know, when I was looking at this life, there are two things I want to share with you in terms of conclusion. You know, many throughout history have tried to stop the spread of the gospel, my friend. History will show that right from the time, you know, the gospel was preached, many organizations, establishment, political powers, or even people rose to stop the spread of the gospel. For example, in AD 300, the Roman Emperor, he ordered that every Bible should be burned because he thought by destroying Scripture, he could destroy Christianity. He also made an edict saying that those who had Scripture with them will be executed. But interesting, God in his ways worked in a very powerful manner. Just 25 years later, the new Roman emperor named Constantine became a Christian, and he ordered 50 perfect copies of the Bible, you know, to be made at the governor's or even the government's expense, my friend. You can't stop the gospel. You can't stop the gospel. You know, in conclusion, let me share a story. I think some of you might know this story. It is always sung in youth campfires, a very powerful song. And some of us would remember this song. It was written by a man called Kurt Kaiser. He was a very active churchman. And he served as a founding member of a Christian church in America. Now one day he was sitting by the fireplace with his wife. And as he was sitting and enjoying the fireplace, he saw the fire, the remnants of the fire. And as he was just observing, it occurred to him that it's only a spark to get a fire going. It's only a spark that makes a fire going. When he saw that, I believe the Lord started speaking to him. And he started writing the lyrics. And it was so powerful. And many of you would remember this. This is what he wrote in his song. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And soon all those around can warm up in its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you have experienced it, you spread his love to everyone. You want to pass it on. You want to pass it on. Yes, my friend, when we have experienced God's love, when we experience the peace of God in our life, we want to pass it on. Let it be our prayer that the gospel will never stop with us, my friend. It will not stop with us, but we will be a channel. We will be an instrument where we will pass the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it be our prayer that God will give us an attitude, the way the attitude the apostle had, that we will approach new ways, asking God for new methods that we can strategize and bring the gospel. And let it be a prayer at every moment. We will be always advancing the gospel. We will be consistent in the word. And we'll be consistent. We'll be bold, courage. And we will spread his word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we can gather together wherever we are. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Remember a time, O God, that you came in search of us. Yes, Lord, today we worship you because of your love. Because on that particular day, O God, your love encountered us. And we just want to praise you. We pray, God, that the gospel will not stop with us, but we will pass it on. We will share your word, Father. Help us, guide us, lead us, and show us the way. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.